Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all about free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, currently 4:15 Central Time, 5:15 on the East Coast, here to break down the Wednesday games for you guys. And joining me to break it all down is my main man on the East Coast, Central Coast. I don't know which coast. He's always traveling. It's my main man, Noah Bienick. Noah, how you doing, my man?
Doing all right, Munaf. Yeah, today just in the, just call it the Great Lakes region, because I'll never probably leave this area of states. I'm either in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Michigan, wherever I'm at in Michigan. But yeah, just kind of been hectic over the last few weeks, just traveling around, but enjoying life. And there's nothing better than, when MLB has center stage in the middle of the summer, and that's the only real sport that we can bet on, basically. So not a shot taken to all the other little podcasts that we have at SGPN, but like, this is kind of the main casual betting sport of the summer.
The major sport. That's cool.
Yep, we're ready to give out some picks today.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, we'll go through the Wednesday schedule. Yesterday, I didn't have a great day. The Red Sox really let me down with the team total. They made it interesting in the ninth inning, but they only scored, I think, two runs. And then my dog of the day was, God, I forgot who I even had yesterday as my dog. But I know it wasn't a good day for me. How'd your picks turn out, Noah?
2-for-2. I went 2-0. Hit on both K props that I gave out. So I got to determine like when the K props and the props come out for the day's slate, whether I go with the lock and dog that I gave out on the podcast, or whether I switch it up and go to a couple of props that I like on the day. Because like you were mentioning on the Sports Gambling Podcast and with Kramer, there is so much to bet on with baseball, and now there's even more up props and lines coming out now that it's, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the one major sport that's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's even like books that offer like three inning money line.
Yeah, or three and
innings,
seven.
Five inning and seven, right? So yeah, definitely there's the menu of opportunities for betting are really expanding in baseball, as rightfully so. But let's just dive right into the games here for the Wednesday schedule. Noah, I know we have a lot of afternoon games here, so hopefully we can get this pod out early and early enough for our listeners to get to it. I think we have about, let's see, five,
that's why we six, that's why we seven, record eight. These that's why yeah. We record these the day before, you know.
Yeah,
good luck.
Eight that. Afternoon games tomorrow, so that'll be fun to watch along with Wimbledon. So let's just kick it off here, Noah. First game on the board, it's going to be the Milwaukee Brewers in Tampa Bay, 12:10 Eastern start. I'm seeing probable pitchers of Eric Lauer, and I don't see a pitcher for Tampa Bay. Do you see one there?
Yeah, I got Jeffrey Springs.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There you go. Yeah, Jeffrey Springs for the Tampa Bay Rays. Seeing the opening line for this game is going to be doesn't have an opening line for this game either. So do we just kind of want to talk through the pitchers here? Noah, and then we can just move on to the next game.
I swear I thought I saw some. I'm going back to the page that I was at. Hold on, give me 1 second. No, okay, maybe not. The Brewers, they're 7-3 in their last 10. The over is hit in 4 of their last 5. The Rays, they're 4-1 in their last 5, and they're 7-2 in their last 9 inside the Trop. And the over is 6-0 in their last 6 games against Milwaukee and Tampa Bay. So there's some trends to love right there. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I kind of get pointed to the over. And then you look at the pitchers here. Milwaukee, we have Eric Lauer, who's 6-3 on the year with a 3.89 ERA, 77 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 74 innings pitched. But in his last 3 starts, they've all been kind of rough against the Cards, Reds, and Nats, giving up 8, 4, and 5 runs, respectively. And for Tampa Bay, we have Jeffrey Springs going. He's 3-2 on the year with a 2.25 ERA, 65 strikeouts, 13 walks, and 60 innings pitched. He's coming off of his 2 worst appearances this year so far against the Pirates and Orioles. So a combined not very good showing in their last combined 5 starts here against teams that aren't very good in the Reds, Nats, Pirates, Orioles. The only one that's really respectable is Lauer's last appearance against the Cardinals, and he gave up 8 runs there. So I'm on the over here whenever it comes out. I'm hoping that it's not opening at like 9. I hope we get anything above 8.5 I'd be comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams are pretty good against left-handed pitching as well. Milwaukee, as far as team batting average against left-handed pitching, they are ranked number 8 in the entire MLB. Their hits, they're right there, right around average. As far as team hits, home runs, it's the same category there for the Brewers and the Tampa Bay Rays. So I think, you know, we have 2 left-handed pitchers tomorrow on the mound for these two squads. I do like the look there for the over for this game. Like you mentioned, Eric Lauer, you know, overall ERA is pretty good, but on the road, he has struggled against opposing teams. I believe his ERA is above 5 in games on the road. So I agree about the over here. You have anything else for this game before we move on to the next one?
Sorry, I put myself on mute. No, I'm just interested to see where the odds come out because, I think I like an over here.
Yeah, 100%. I think with these two teams, I would probably think an 8.5. I mean, maybe if we get an opening number of an 8, possibly, but I think an 8.5 would probably be a better number for this for these two pitchers. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like anything 8.5 and under, I would like the over. When it gets to 9, a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
100%. Oh no, here we go.
I am popping another cough drop. So no one's going to have to carry me again.
You hit the record button and then I'll you go to this.
All of a sudden, I start coughing again. So I don't know what it is, man. It's getting better, though. I'll tell you that.
You were fine on SGP last night.
I wasn't because I wasn't doing that much talking. It was more Sean and Ryan having to do the talking. Whereas here, when you're hosting, you have to do a lot more talking here. So I'm going to.
You got to fill the time in an hour.
Yeah, you got to fill the time, right? All right, let's get over to the next game. 105 Eastern start. Oakland A's at the New York Yankees. Cole Irvin on the mound for the Oakland A's and Jameson Taillon on the mound for the New York Yankees. Opening line for this game, I'm seeing a heavy, heavy favorite here for the New York Yankees, -265, +225 for the Oakland A's. Over under set at 8.5 with juice towards the under at -115. Run line for this game, -1.5, -125 for the New York Yankees, and +1.5, +105. For the Oakland A's. Noah, I'll let you lead this one off, my man. Oakland A's versus New York Yankees with Irvin and Taillon on the mound.
Yeah, so we're recording this on Tuesday for Wednesday's games, but what in the world happened in Monday's game?
Oh,
it's brutal. You were on Oakland, right?
I was. So what I did last night, and I mean for our official picks, I took the Oakland A's +1.5 full game, but I actually bet them on the run line.
Was that your dog on the graphic that you couldn't remember?
Yeah, it was full. So Dylan, I'm sorry, had the first 5 run line for the Oakland A's, and that came in very easily. But actually, when I bet last night, I actually took Oakland A's first five innings money line. I took the first five run line, and I took the full game. But I know there's a lot of chatter going on in the MLB Slack channel. As soon as I think when the A's got up, like it was like 5-1 or like, yeah, it was like 5-1 they got up. I went and grabbed a Yankees money line on live. So the game turned out pretty good for me. But as far as the pick graphic, I actually took the A's full for the full game minus one, plus 1.5. But that one didn't work out.
It was a hedge. It was a hedge.
Mid-game. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think at this point in the season, we're like, I don't know, they're 54-20. So it's 64 games in. I'm ready to just award Malcolm with the correct regular season champion. It doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series. They just won the regular season. I mean, yeah. They pulled that game out of their ass with two Sean Murphy catcher's interferences. Like,
yeah,
that is never, I've never seen a catcher do that. And
yeah,
it was, wasn't it back-to-back at bats?
I believe it was, because and they Murphy's came back.
A good yeah. catcher.
Yeah.
He's a good catcher. Just unbelievable. But anyways, to Wednesday's game. We're talking about Monday's game, but it's Wednesday's game here. Oakland with Cole Irvin on the mound. He's 2-5 on the year with a 3.29 ERA, 47 strikeouts, 17 walks, and 68.1 innings pitched. He's lost three consecutive games against the Royals again, and the Guardians, which doesn't create a very good resume, and the Yankees with Jameson Taillon, who has been struggling as of late, but he's 8-1 on the year with a 3.19 ERA, 63 strikeouts. And we talked about him on yesterday's podcast, thinking that he was going to start for Tuesday. They ended up going with a reliever slash opener. So again, going to keep the same Taillon handicap, and I'm not going to repeat a couple of the trends that I had on him. I like the Yankees on the running line here. I mean, we mentioned yesterday, if you're not a fan of the Yankees, take the Oakland Athletics on like a half unit, a quarter of the unit on all three games. Mm-hmm. I still think that strategy applies in this game, but if you're betting this game and this game only, I think Yankees run line is the play.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you do, like, because I don't trust this bullpen for the Oakland A's, right? Like last night or Monday night was a prime example of how the game we were kind of anticipated playing it out, right? Like Oakland got out early. They had the first five innings lead, and then they kind of gave it up after the fifth inning and sixth, seventh, and eighth. The Yankees offense really kind of came back. And like you also mentioned, like the catcher interference with Seth Brown there. So I agree with you here. I do like the Yankees run line here. James Taillon has been absolutely fantastic so far this season for them. I know you mentioned he's had a rough couple starts here. I mean, when you're going up against the Houston Astros, that's a very potent offense. I think that's going to happen, right? We talk about teams like the Astros, Yankees, Dodgers, the teams that just have great offenses. You're going to get hit a little bit. But here against the Oakland A's, I think that he should bounce back here. I do like the run line with you as well. I'll co-sign that. I think this might be a series where the Yankees as well are going to score some runs here against his pitching staff and the bullpen against the Oakland A's. So I if you get a 4.5 on a team total for the Yankees, I don't hate that either. But you have anything else for this game, Noah, before we get to the next one?
Maybe not series, like throughout most of it, I guess. Frankie Montas, I expect a good start from him today. But yeah, the bullpen is a little bit rough on the Athletics side. And this is definitely just a nice little, I mean, it wasn't a team that was going to live up to the Yankees, you know, maybe falling asleep during the early half of this week after a series against the Astros. They're not good enough to make them pay for that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Let's get over to the next game of the afternoon for Wednesday. It's going to be a 1:05 Eastern start between the Pittsburgh Pirates in the nation's capital to take on the Washington Nationals. Mitch Keller on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Paulo Espino on the mound for the Washington Nationals. Looking at the opening line for this game, I'm seeing the Washington Nationals favored minus 135 on the money line, plus 115 on the money line for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Over-under is at 9 with a little bit of juice towards the over at minus 115. Run line for this game, I'm seeing the Nationals minus 1.5, plus 145. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates on the run line, plus 1.5, minus 170. I'll start with Mitch Keller here. He's 2-5 on the season with a 4.77 ERA, a 1.42 whip on the road so far this year. Hasn't been that great. He has an ERA of 5.12 with a whip of 1.48. He has 2-2 on the season on the road so far, and his last start was pretty solid against it was against the Tampa Bay Rays. Five innings, he did give up 3 earned runs, but I think that, you know, he's been pretty good. I mean, if you kind of take a look at dating back to all the way to May 18th to his last start, he's pitched 33 1/3 innings. He's allowed 29 hits in that span, but only given up 11 earned runs with a ERA of 2.97 and a 1.32 whip. But it's really be on the road where he's gotten into trouble. 18 innings pitched in that span, which I mentioned, May 18th to the 24th. 8 earned runs given up in 18 innings. His ERA of 4 and a whip of 1.44. Now he goes up against the Washington Nationals here with, like I said, with Paolo Espino on the mound. He's been really good for them so far this season. He's started the last two games. He had his first start was against the Phillies, I believe, where he went 5 innings, gave up 3 runs, 2 of them weren't earned. And then his last start against the Texas Rangers, 5 1/3 inning in that start, 6 hits allowed, only gave up 1 earned run. So he's been pretty good for them. I'm not sure if I do trust Mitch Keller here, especially on the road here against his Nationals team. They're a really good hitting team, are the Nationals. I think that's something that we don't give them credit for. And I was looking early when I was capping this game of how Mitch Keller has done against the Nationals. And in one start earlier this year where he did face them on April 15th, he only lasted 3 2/3 innings in that game, and he allowed 4 earned runs in that game. Gave up 3 walks as well to the Washington Nationals. And I'm going to stick with Paolo Espino and the that Washington Nationals here at home. I think there's going to be an opportunity for the Nationals to get to Keller again, especially on the road, like I mentioned. I keep harping on that, so I'm going to go with that here. Noah, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the Nationals as well, just because Mitch Keller is very inconsistent, and we talked about it. I think it was the last time me and Dylan, I think it was the Lord of the Flies podcast where it was just me and Dylan. Mm. Keller's much better at home than he is on the road. Yep. And that's something that I'm looking to tail here, and I'm not necessarily going to bet it. I don't think betting on either team this season is going to be very profitable. Just hard to figure out. But yeah, my lean would be taking the Nationals on the money line here.
Yep. All right, let's keep it moving here. The next game on the board is going to be the Houston Astros in New York to take on the Mets. 1:10 Eastern start. Justin Verlander, the ace for the Houston Astros, on the mound. And Taijuan Walker on the mound for the New York Mets. Looking at the opening line for this game, the Houston Astros are favored, -125 on the money line. The New York Mets +105 as home underdogs. Over-under set at 7.5 with juice towards the over at -115. On the run line, Astros -1.5, +135. And the New York Mets +1.5, -155 on the run line. Noah, I'll let you lead this one off, buddy.
The Astros are 8-3 in their last 11 games, 5-0 versus the Mets in their last 5 games that they played the Mets. The Mets, although, are 13-2 in their last 15 home games. But rule number one, I don't fade Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
9-3 with a 2.22 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 89.1 innings pitched. And we doubted him last time against the Yankees, and he went out there and absolutely dealt. And he chucked 4 hits. He only gave 4 hits and 7 innings pitched just after a terrible 7-run start against the White Sox. So a complete bounce-back spot there for Verlander. And then on the Mets side, they're starting Taijuan Walker, who's 6-2. With a 3.03 ERA, 49 strikeouts, 19 walks, and 65.1 innings pitched. Both teams, with how well they've been playing, scare me to try to pick in this game on the money line. But I like the under here in this one with both studs on the mound.
Yeah, I agree about the under. I couldn't come to a side either. I mean, Justin Verlander's numbers have been better. I mean, they've been overall pretty good, but he's pitched more innings on the road so far this year. 17 more innings that he's pitched on the road versus at home. 36 1/3 at home, 53 innings on the road. And, you know, the whip is better on the road as well, 0.77 versus 1.02 at home. So, I mean, overall, he's having a very dominant season, Cy Young worthy for sure.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, Walker as well at home. He's been, you know, better at home versus on the road. He has a 2.49 ERA at home versus a 3.3 on the road so far this season. I think, yeah, that was the one play that I did come to as well, under 7.5 here at -105 between these two teams. Do you have anything else for this game, Noah?
Just that, you know, Verlander, when he gets tagged, it's normally for the long ball, and him playing away from home is actually more beneficial to him because he's away from that juice box, which is one of the smallest parks in the MLB. So,
yeah, I mean, if you kind of take a look over his last couple games here, you're right. He's really gotten in trouble when he gives up the long ball at home. I know he had that rough outing against Seattle back on May 27th in Seattle, but other than that, he's been pretty solid. Did have a rough outing against the Chicago White Sox, but when you're
Some wacky stat, like he's Hall of Fame bound. Yeah. He's going to be one of the pitchers with the most home runs ever given up in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I don't have that stat ready, mm-hmm. but just being in Tiger's Twitter, that pops up every now and then. And I'm just like, it's insane.
Yeah. All right. Before we move on, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor, WinBet. Make sure to get down on WinBet $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Also, the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 on sports or in the casino before July 31st, 2022, and you get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in a state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Noah, let's keep it moving here, my man. The next game on the board is going to be a 2:10 Eastern start between the Texas Rangers and the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City. Dane Dunning on the mound for the Texas Rangers and Zach Greinke on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. Looking at the opening line for this game, I'm seeing a -120 road favorite here for the Texas Rangers and Dane Dunning. Even money on the money line for the Kansas City Royals. Over under set at 9 with juice towards the over at -115. Run line right now, -1.5, +135 for the Texas Rangers and +1.5, -155 for the Kansas City Royals. I will let you lead this one off as well here. Noah, what do we got for this game?
So just some quick trends before we get into the pitchers again. The under has hit in 4 of the Rangers' last 6 and 8 of the Royals' last 12. With Monday night slaughtering, Texas is now 7-1 in the last 8 tilts against Kansas City. For Texas, Dane Dunning makes the start. He's 1-5 with a 4.17 ERA, 74 strikeouts, 29 walks in 82 innings pitched. Notably, he is worse on the road. Kansas City, they're starting Zach Greinke, who's 1-4 with a 4.68 ERA, 29 strikeouts, 10 walks in 57.2 innings pitched. And notably, he's better at home. Munoz typically has those stats, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. Kansas City is an interesting dog that I'm willing to play here, especially with the news of young bopper named his nickname is Italian Breakfast, I believe. It's Vinny Pascalatino. I butchered his last name, but expect him to butcher some balls in the MLB. I think after them dealing away Carlos Santana and all the injuries that they've suffered with Salvador Perez, and it's just two big blows to this team and this young stud, new energy into the clubhouse, kind of like the way they treated Bobby Witt. Maybe it rejuvenates them a little bit after yesterday's blowout against Texas. You know, it was like 10-1 or 10-4 or something like that. But Munoz, do you agree with the Kansas City play, and do you have those road and home stats for both pitchers?
So Zach Greinke, and I was just going through his game log, and so far this season, he's had 5 starts at home for the Kansas City Royals. He hasn't allowed more than 2 earned runs in any of those starts.
Yeah.
He's gone at least 5 innings in every single one of those starts, and he gave up 2 to the Chicago White Sox, and he gave up 2 to the Detroit Tigers. That's been the most that he's given up. So I think we're on to something here. I think that you mentioned it with Dane Dunning. He hasn't been very good on the road. 6.03 ERA with a whip of 1.75. He's 0-4 on the road so far this year is Dane Dunning. And if you kind of go through his game log, he gave up 5 to the Detroit Tigers in Detroit. He gave up 4 to the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. He gave up 2 to the Oakland A's in Oakland, 4 and a third. gave up 5 to the Los Angeles Angels on the road. So you kind of see where I'm getting here. Not very good on the road. So, no. Yeah, I agree. I think that this is an opportunity for the Royals to probably get put up some runs against Dane Dunning. And also at a even money price here. I mean, I guess we could say it's an underdog price, but I'm with you there, man. I like the Royals here.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
All right, let's move on to the next game of the afternoon. It's going to be the San Diego Padres versus the Arizona Diamondbacks, 3:40 Eastern start. It's going to be Mike Clevinger on the mound for the Padres and Madison Bumgarner for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Looking at the opening lines for this game, -140 favorites for the San Diego Padres and +120 home underdogs for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Over under is set at 8.5 for this game, with juice towards the under at -115. Run line, -1.5, +115 for the Padres, and +1.5, -135 for the Arizona Diamondbacks, with said Madison Bumgarner on the mound. I'll start here with Mike Clevinger. He's come back off the IL so far for the Padres so far this season. He's 1-0, 3.52 ERA with the whip of 1.30. His last start was actually against the Arizona Diamondbacks, where he went 4 innings. Gave up only 1 earned run in that game, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks. He started, I believe it's been 6 games where he's made an appearance, and 4 of those 6 have actually come on the road. So far on the road, he has a 3.68 ERA with a 1.09 whip, 14 2/3 innings pitch on the road so far this season for Mike Clevinger. I think the more interesting part that I found in this game, or the handicap, was Madison Bumgarner for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He, left-handed pitcher, obviously we know that. He's 3-7 so far for this season. 3.75 ERA with a whip of 1.37. His last start was against the San Diego Padres as well, back on June 22nd in San Diego, where he gave up 4 earned runs in 4 innings, did allow 6 runs overall, gave up 9 hits in that span. But I think that one thing that really stood out to me when I dug a little deeper about Madison Bumgarner against the Padres in his career as a member of the Diamondbacks, the numbers were not very good. And I'm quickly trying to pull it up here. Give me hang with me for 1 second. Let's see. I'll try to get it here, but why don't you give your handicap for this game, Noah, and I'll see if I can pull up that stat in the meantime.
So Jerickson Profar, 4-9 against Mad Bum. Luke Voit, 3-7 against Mad Bum. Austin Nola, 4-10 against Bumgarner. You see where I'm going. All these guys have great numbers against Bumgarner here. And the trend still hasn't changed because I haven't played this Tuesday game. San Diego wins in Chase Field. They're 6-0 in their last 6 games against Arizona. I said that yesterday. I'm going to say with it today. They were my lock yesterday, and I still kind of like Clevinger on the mound against Mad Bum here. So Padres is my play, and like we always say, if you like the Padres to just win the game, just take a shot on them on the run line, because they have a great record on the run line.
Yeah, over the last 2 weeks, the Padres number one in WRC+. And that stat that I was talking about for Madison Bumgarner as a member or as a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it dates back to July 2020. And up till present, he is 0-4 with an ERA of 6.68, 30 strikeouts and 7 appearances against the Padres. And his last start, like we mentioned, was last week, where he also did struggle against his team. So I agree with you 100%. I actually do like the run line here for the San Diego Padres at that +115 price. So I think we're both here on the Padres agreement against Madison Bumgarner and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Anything else for this game, Noah?
Nope, let's move on.
All right, let's keep it rolling here. Next game on the board is going to be the Detroit Tigers in San Francisco to take on the Giants. It's a 3:45 Eastern start. Ronny Garcia on the mound for the Detroit Tigers and Alex Wood on the mound for the San Francisco Giants. Looking at the opening line for this game, heavy favorites here for the San Francisco Giants, -210 on the money line, +180 for the Detroit Tigers. Over-under set at 8 with juice towards the under at -115. On the run line, -1.5, +105 for the Giants, and +1.5, -125 for the Detroit Tigers. I'll leave this one off here. Ronny Garcia for the Detroit Tigers, 4.75 ERA with a 1.04 whip. On the road, he's actually been better with a 3.18 ERA and a whip of 1.00. Alex Wood has not been very good this season, 5.05, 1.37. ERA at home at 4.4 and a 1.43 whip. But you're the Tigers fan, Noah. I'm going to let you talk about your team.
So I'm not a huge fan of Rony Garcia, and I think I said that the last time that he pitched, and I was on the pod as well. I think that was also the Lord of the Flies pod. But he's been surprising me this year. So I'm going to continue to repeat that statement and see if he can keep surprising me throughout the rest of the season. If he continues to be the spot starter from the bullpen for us, because we have Willie Peralta in the pen and he was a great starter last year. I don't know why we're not pitching him right now. That's my only complaint, is like Willie has done it for us. So, but Detroit, they're 4-10 in their last 14 games. All these trends remain the same from yesterday because they have not played in Tuesday's game yet. They're 3-7 against their against the Giants in their last 10. And this was a fun fact that I just learned on Twitter today. It's a fascinating place. This is the first time that the Tigers are visiting San Francisco since the World Series loss when we got swept.
Wow.
Yeah. So 18-mile-an-hour winds blowing out, left-handed pitcher. Detroit usually does better against left-handed pitching. I'm going to lean towards Detroit here. I'm going to take a shot on the Tigers here. Not comfortable ever playing this team, but I mean, they have the worst road record in the MLB, but I feel like this is a spot with them. And like you mentioned, Rony is better on the road. So Rony road guy, you know?
Yeah. I just don't trust Alex Wood, man. I mean, the numbers just aren't very great for him. He's given up at least 4 earned runs in his last 2 starts. Last 2 starts against the Pirates and then against the Atlanta Braves, he's only gone 6 1/3 inning. He's given up 10 earned runs in those 2 starts on the road. But when you have, you know, you mentioned that Tigers, and that was something that I also did look at, is when they're going up against any team that's going against left-handed pitching, I want to see how they're doing. The Tigers are pretty good, like you mentioned, against left-handed pitching. So I think this might be a spot where, you know, if you don't want to take the full game money line, you're still getting a +1.5 -125 price on that run line. But I'll leave with the Tigers here, man. I think there's some value here on that +180 money line price here against the San Francisco Giants with Alex Wood on the mound. So you'll get an agreement with me here again on this same, but I think I may actually just get down on that +1.5 -125 price on the run line.
Yeah, that's a good price.
For the Tigers. You have anything else for this game?
No, I like that price, the +1.5.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving here. Next game on the board, the last game of the early starts. It's going to be the Baltimore Orioles at the Seattle Mariners, 4:10 Eastern start. Austin Voth is going to be on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles, and Chris Flexen on the mound for the Seattle Mariners. We know the Seattle Mariners are dealing with a lot of injuries here. For a lot of suspensions, the guys being out of their lineup. Ty France is out of the lineup. We know he's on the IL. I think the suspensions finally came down after the brawl between the Angels and the Mariners. But, Noah, I'll let you lead this one off, man. Orioles versus the Mariners.
Yeah, I mentioned how Twitter is just a fascinating spot, right? So pulling these from Twitter, Jeff Passan, Jesse Winker suspended 7 games, but he is appealing. So I think he's allowed to play while you're appealing the decision there.
Yeah.
J.P. Crawford, 5-game suspension. And then Julio Rodriguez got 2 games. So those are the notable Mariners guys. But listen to this stat from Sarah Langs on Twitter. 14-10, the Orioles are in June. There's 2 games left, Tuesday's game and Wednesday's game. Mm-hmm. The Orioles have clinched their first winning calendar month with the minimum of 5 games being played in the month since they went 17-12 back in August 2017.
Yeah.
In that span from September 2017 to May 2022, every other team had at least 2 winning months with the minimum of 5 games in a month, and the Astros had 23 of them in the lead. So just a historic month for the Orioles, you know, their first winning month in the decade.
That deserves a round of applause, Noah. It really does.
I'll try my best through the mic. But the total has gone under in 7 of the Orioles' last 8 and 11 of the Mariners' last 16. But with winds of 13 miles an hour blowing straight out to center field, these two pitchers on the mound, how do we take it under here? For Baltimore, Austin Voth, who's 0-0 with a 7.81 ERA, 28 strikeouts, 10 walks, and 27.2 innings pitched. Fun fact, he is the 12th worst fantasy baseball pitcher this year. And then for Seattle, we have Chris Flexen, who's 3-8 with a 4.31 ERA, 55 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 77.1 innings pitched. And he's actually not that bad. I just used him to kind of fit the narrative that I'm trying to spin. He's actually been really good as of late with 6 straight starts, surrendering 3 or less runs. But we're banking on this bullpen of the Mariners to give up a few runs. And I like this over, which is set at 8 right now that I'm seeing. So the over 8 is my play there. I like it.
Yeah, did I give out the launch for this game? I don't think I did.
maybe not.
Yeah, I'll go through it quickly, and then we'll give the picks for this game. But it was -135 on the money line for the Mariners, +115 for the Baltimore Orioles. Over-under, you're right, it's at 8, but it's juiced towards the under at -115. So you can get that number at either even money price or -105 on the over. But the run line, -1.5, +140 for the Mariners, and +1.5, -165 for the Baltimore Orioles. I agree with you, man. Look, I can't get behind any either one of these pitchers, just because we talked about just the stats right now. And again, both of these bullpens are poor, so it pretty much turns into a coin flip in the back half of the game, right? Which bullpen is going to be worse? So I understand that, you know, some of the players are appealing and the Mariners are dealing with some injuries, but it's going to be a game where we see, again, I don't know, 11, 12, 13 runs, especially with the wind factor that you just talked about. Not only that, it also being during the day, so you're going to get warmer temperatures as well. So that only helps your over case on that over 8. So I think that number is a little conservative here. No, I agree with you there 100%. You have anything else for this game?
Let's just hope that roof is open, baby.
Yeah, I hope so too. Definitely something to check out as well. And again, when you're betting these totals, you have to check the weather reports, man. Like the wind is a big thing if that roof is going to be open or not. I know you and I both use Swish Analytics as a good source for our handicapping and things like that. So definitely check out their website. They give a lot of great information. Before we move into the nightcap games, let me tell you guys about Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform. We use it here at SGPN. And it's a lot of fun to be on. You probably already have Fantasy League on there, and we use it again, like I said, at SGP. And it's a game-changing product, unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose 2 or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball when basketball is going on. But right now, like we mentioned, it's only baseball. There's a lot of different props that you can select from guys, total bases, hits, strikeout props are on there as well. All you got to do is choose 2 or more, enter into the contest, and you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money that you put in. The main reason we're excited about over-under on Sleeper is that's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and we can play it together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks. With a tap of a button, it's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. So on your mobile devices, join our listener group on Sleeper by going to sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our Sleeper squad and get 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. And also make sure to use that promo code SGP or also SGPMLB. A couple of promo codes there to use, but it's only on your first deposit of up to $100. Last night, I put in an entry. I took one of Noah's picks, the Adam Wainwright lock. And I also took, I think it was Chad Kuhl for the Rockies. I took the over, put in a little a contest there, about $20. That turned into $72 for me. So it's a lot of fun. Make sure you guys check it out. And again, you can copy our picks as well with a one click of a button on Sleeper. So make sure to head to sleeper.com/SGP and join our listener group as well. All right, let's keep it rolling here for the nightcap games here. Noah, the first night game is going to be the Atlanta Braves in Philadelphia, 7:05 Eastern start. Kyle Wright on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. Looking at the opening lines for this game, it's going to be Atlanta Braves are favored on the road here, -145, +125 for the Philadelphia Phillies on the money line. Over-under set at 8 for this game with juice towards the over at -120. Run line, -1.5, +120 for the Atlanta Braves, and +1.5, -140 for the Phillies. I'll kick it off here. Kyle Wright, man, he's been really consistent here for the Atlanta Braves. He has a 3.18 ERA with a whip of 1.16 on the road so far this year. 3.1 with a 1.38 whip so far this season. Ranger Suarez, he's really been up and down for this squad. So far this season, he is, and I just had it in front of me. Give me one second. He is, 6-4 on the season with a 4.23 ERA. Left-handed pitcher. His last start, he did pretty well against the Padres. 7 1/3 innings, probably his best start so far this season, where he's gone at least 7 innings. He's had 3 starts where he's gone 7 innings. He's given up consistently at least 2 earned runs, and I believe that's about 7 to 8 straight starts. And at home, he hasn't been very good. He has a 5.10 ERA with a whip of 1.73. He's 1-3 at home. So the success for Ranger Suarez has really come on the road so far this year. Kyle Wright, like I said, he's been really consistent. He has a record of 8-4. His last 2 starts, he's gotten roughed up a little bit. He's given up 9 earned runs in 11 innings pitched. But I think this might be a game where he can find some form here against the Philadelphia Phillies. He did face his team back on May 26th in Atlanta. He went 6 2/3 in that game, gave up 3 earned runs, did have 5 strikeouts in that game. But with the splits I just talked about with Ranger Suarez here, Noah, I'm leaning towards taking Kyle Wright and the Atlanta Braves here, man. What do you like for this game?
Yeah, so Kyle Wright's one of my favorites in the MLB. Watched him over at Vanderbilt for a while until he got into the pros. And this is one of my favorite pitchers to watch just because he has a lot of the same like junk that I throw. K-prop for him, but I'm actually going to stay away from this game. Just a couple of the trends that I look at normally. Both teams are hot. Atlanta 15-5 in their last 20. Philly 14-6 in their last 20. Philly's also 8-2 in their last 10 at home. Both these teams, they've gone under. Atlanta, they're 4 of their last 5 games, and Philly 4 of their last 6. And I was actually kind of leaning towards the over in this one. So not really a strong play. And this is where you're probably going to get a right K prop for me to just kind of give you something in this game. Big fan of Wright. I think he goes out there and gets at least 5. We'll see where that opens up. I'm thinking around 4.5, 5.5.
Yeah, Atlanta has been pretty good against lefties so far this year as well. They're number 7 in team batting average against left-handed pitching. They're also, I believe, are number 6 in hits against left-handed pitching as well. Let me see how many runs they have scored against left-handed pitching. They're number 3 in the entire league against left-handed pitching. In run score with 109, and WRC plus, another stat that I have started looking at. Atlanta over the last 2 weeks are number 7 in WRC plus. So possibly a Braves team total in this game would maybe be a play as well, along with the Kyle Wright K prop that Noah is talking about. You like anything else for this game, Noah, before we get to the next one?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Let's keep it moving here. It's going to be the Boston Red Sox in Toronto to take on the Blue Jays, 7:07 Eastern start. Nick Pivetta on the mound for the Boston Red Sox and Alek Manoah on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. Looking at the opening line for this game, it's going to be a -150 favorite for the Toronto Blue Jays, +130 on the money line for the Boston Red Sox. Over under set at 8.5 with juice towards the over at -115. The run line, -1.5, +135. For the Toronto Blue Jays, and +1.5, -155 for the Boston Red Sox. Nick Pivetta, 8-5 so far this year, 3.25 ERA with a whip of 1.11. He's been probably the most consistent pitcher for the Red Sox this year. He's been healthy. He's been in this rotation all season long. He did face his Toronto team two times already, which was in the first two starts this season. Back on April 20th, four innings, gave up five earned runs. And then April 26th in Toronto, 4 2/3 innings, he gave up two earned runs in that game. He did allow four walks in both of those starts. So 10 strikeouts to eight walks is a ratio against Toronto for Nick Pivetta. On the road so far this year, the ERA is slightly worse at 3.66 with the ERA, a whip of 1.11. Alec Manoah, you guys know I picked him as my Cy Young for this year. He's been absolutely brilliant for the Toronto Blue Jays, 9-2 on the season, 2.05 ERA, a whip of 0.96. At home, he has a record of 5-1 with a 2.15 ERA, a whip of 0.8. He did face his Boston Red Sox team back on April 28th, where he went seven innings and threw shutout baseball. He only allowed three hits, did have seven strikeouts in that game as well. There's no reason for me not to continue backing Alec Manoah. I've been on his starts every single start that he's made so far this season. He's been profitable for me. I don't think anything changes here. The Red Sox lineup really does struggle against his team. I think this pitcher, the only one guy that really has success against Alec Manoah is Alex Verdugo. I know he's 4-8 against him so far this season, but everybody else, Rafael Devers 1-6, JD Martinez 0-6, Xander Bogaerts 0-3, a very small sample so far for this year, but I'm a huge fan of Alec Manoah. I'm going to keep backing him here, Noah, against the Red Sox.
I find it a little bit weird that you're backing a guy that you're a fan of over the team that you're a fan of.
I'm a little biased to Manoah because I did pick him for AL. I know. I'm holding that ticket, but I gotta pick the winners, right?
Yeah, this is our AL Cy Young card because my AL Cy Young pick, who has been pretty good this year too, he's also on this card. But I think there's some good value in this Boston line here. Did you read off plus 125 on Pivetta? He's been their most consistent starter this year. And yeah. I mean, I don't validate opening the Blue Jays as minus 175 on the money line, if that was correct. Again,
150.
150. Okay. So a little bit high on my part from what I've been looking at. But I still like Boston on the money line in this game. I feel like this is the series that they have to make the statement and keep this lead over the Blue Jays in the wild card race and second place in the AL East. AL East might be tied up already, as I awarded Malcolm in picking the correct regular season champion earlier in this podcast. But I mean, I think Boston has a chance to, you know, just pull off a good upset here today.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Manoah has made three appearances against the Red Sox, and he's been pretty good against them. He has a 2-0 record with a 1.50 ERA. Again, the whole thing with the Red Sox, like the vaccinations, I know they don't have their closer, and they don't have, I think, their leadoff guy. You know, it could be a possibility that they, you know, maybe sneak one out here. Maybe that's going to be on Tuesday night, but I just feel like that, you know, the history against with Alec Manoah against the Red Sox and how he has just been pitching the season, I tend to lean towards him. I wish it was a cheaper price of minus 150, but I do understand why it is at 150. And I think that, well, as we're both kind of talking about here, Noah, the under kind of makes sense here then at under 8.5, yeah, because both these pitchers have been really good.
Has not having their closer over the last year ever affected the Red Sox? Because have you really settled on one guy lately? You had in the beginning of the season, it was like you guys couldn't get a guy. So I haven't had a keen eye on the Red Sox bullpen in the last month. Has there been a merged guy? Who is that?
So Matt Barnes has been out, I think, on the injured list. And it's really been guys that they've just kind of been rotating, because and let me see if I can pull up who's the player is that has the most saves on this team.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know who, like, the established closer of this team is off the top of my head, but Barnes 15-day IL and Hansel Robles 15-day IL, and those are the two of, like, the four guys that were competing with it. I know Garrett Whitlock was also a good arm, but he's on the 15-day IL as well. Yeah. And then is it Jake Diekman that's not vaccinated?
Or so Tanner Houck has six saves. He leads a team in saves so far this season for the Red Sox. But yeah, it's either been, I've seen Jake Dykeman out there. I've seen Tanner Houck out there. I've seen Matt Barnes when he's healthy, he's been out there. So again, ever since they lost Craig Kimbrell, they really haven't had a closer. I know last season it was Matt Barnes who was having a pretty good season last year, but this season he has a 7.94 ERA. He just hasn't been very good so far this year for the Red Sox.
That's what I'm saying. Not having a closer hasn't really affected you guys really lately. Yeah. So that's my one thing on that.
Yeah. All right, let's keep the ball moving here. We have about, let's see, where am I on the schedule?
Four games left.
Five games left. We have the Minnesota Twins in Cleveland to take on the Guardians. 7:10 Eastern start. Seeing Dylan Bundy on the mound for the Minnesota Twins. Cal Quintrall. Try to say that five times in a row for the Cleveland Guardians. Looking at the opening line for this game. The Cleveland Guardians are favored slightly at minus 115 as home favorites. Minus 105 for Dylan Bundy and the Twins. 8.5 is a total for this game with juice towards the over at minus 120. Run line +1.5, minus 175 for the Cleveland Guardians and -1.5, plus 150 for the Minnesota Twins. That's a little backwards there because the Guardians are favored in this game. But looking at this game here, Noah, I'll start it off here with Dylan Bundy. Anytime I see this guy pitching, especially on the road, I want to fade him. 6.82 ERA on the road, a whip of 1.54. Cal control, he's turned it around here. He has a 3.76 ERA so far at on the season, and it's right around the same number for him at home. But Dylan Bundy, 4-4 so far, but his record on the road so far this season, he's 2-3, but I mentioned the ERA where it's been really bad for him. He's been good at home for the Minnesota Twins with a 2.10 ERA and a whip below one. But kind of take a look at his starts over the past couple road starts. He had a great one against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but we know that's not a very good hitting team. He gave up 5 against the Toronto Blue Jays in 2 innings. He gave up 4 against the Detroit Tigers in 6 innings. Early in the season, he really had trouble on the road. He gave up 9 to the Baltimore Orioles. He gave up 6 to the Tampa Bay Rays. So you just kind of see where I'm getting at. Cal control, 4-4 so far on the season, like I mentioned, 3.76 ERA. He has won, let's see, he is perfect. No, I'm sorry, that's last season. He's 3-0 so far at home this year, dating back to 2020. Noah, at home, Cal control is a perfect 10-0 with a 2.51 ERA. So I don't think that's a train that I get when I want to get in front of. That's a train that I do want to back, for lack of a better word.
Hop all aboard.
Yeah, I'm hopping on the Cal control train at home. So give me the Cleveland Guardians here against the Minnesota Twins, Noah.
So we've established two expresses in the last two podcasts. We have the Fade Robbie Ray train and the Cal Quantrill train. I'll just say Quantrill. That way we can have both pronunciations covered, you know?
Yours is probably right.
We'll see. But yeah, the Guardians, I said it on yesterday's podcast. I feel like this is a huge, huge bounce back series after getting swept at home against Boston. They get the Twins coming in who have had their number. They're 1-5 in their last 6 games against the Twins, but they just won 3-2 this afternoon in game one of the doubleheader. Zach Plesac threw pretty well. He had three walks. He had 7 strikeouts, though. He only gave up 3 hits in the 6 innings, and then bullpen came in and just shut him down. 3-2 victory for the Guardians there. I think I'm going to be on the Guardians this whole series. I feel like this is a huge spot for him.
Yeah, there's no way I'm putting my money behind Dylan Bundy on the road, so I'm going to keep that simple.
That's very good. Two very good trends. Bundy on the road struggling, and Quantrill on the road at home. Not even losing in the last 2 years. So
yeah.
Hopefully that's not an MLB SGPN jinx, but you never know.
Yeah. You have anything else for this game?
No, I feel like that might be coming up in the later segment from you. Eh?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with the next game on the board. 4 games left on the schedule here. We got the Miami Marlins in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. 7:45 Eastern start. Sandy Alcantara on the mound for the Miami Marlins and Andre Pallante, on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That might be French and a silent E at the end. So Pallant was my Pallant. Guess.
There you go. All right.
I have no idea. Andre's a French name. Pallant seems French.
I thought I didn't see a line for this game, but I actually do. It's -110 both ways on the money line for this game. 7.5 is a total. And the run line is -1.5, +155 for the Marlins, and +1.5, -180 for the St. Louis Cardinals. Noah, I will let you lead this one off, my man.
So the Marlins are 1-9 in their last 10 games against St. Louis, but does that streak or trend just kind of halt for this one game as they have Sandy Alcantara on the mound? Do they steal this game for the Marlins? Alcantara, he's 7-3 this year, and 11 of his 15 starts have been quality starts in 2022. He has a 1.95 ERA, 94 strikeouts, 28 walks, and 106.1 innings pitched. And he's going up against Andre Pallant, who's making his fifth MLB start. He's 2-3 with a 2.03 ERA, 31 strikeouts, 21 walks, and 48.2 innings pitched. But the long ball has been a little bit of an issue for the kid. I like Miami to win this game. Munaf, do you agree?
Anytime I see Sandy Alcantara on the mound, I do want to back him. But he had a rough start against the Mets. I mean, the Mets are a good offense. His last two starts were actually against the Mets. He's gone. It's crazy to see the amount of innings this guy is pitching, Noah. He's gone at least 7 innings over his last, and I'm trying to pull up how many total games it's been. Let me just count this down here.
Well, leads the MLB in innings pitched.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And there's not really somebody that's close. He's 9 innings ahead of the next guy, Aaron Nola, at 97.1.
So I think it is, nine games. He's gone a minimum of 7 innings in all of those games, and he's gone at least 8 innings in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those games. So this guy's like to eat up, you know, he eats up the innings and he's doing well pitching. I think this might be the spot where the streak ends, like you mentioned, the trend that you did mention here. I mean, this guy is their best pitcher for the Miami Marlins. And you mentioned that the pitcher for the Cardinals, he likes to give up the long ball, or he's prone to giving up the long ball. He's given up a home run in 3 straight games to the opposition, Pirates, Red Sox, and the Chicago Cubs. So let's go with Sandy Alcantara here. -110 price. I don't think we're going to see a price like that for him a lot this season and going forward in the second half of the season. So I do like the Marlins here. You have anything else?
My only mentioning would be on a rebuttal of your statement that his last start against the Mets, you know, the Mets are very good at home. Yeah. He gave up 5 runs, only 4 earned. 2 of them were on home runs, and those were his first 2 home runs he's given up in his last 7 starts, which is, like you mentioned, 8 or 9 innings each start. So that's at least 56 innings he's gone without giving up a home run. And he gave up 2 against the Mets there. So, I mean, I feel like this is just a good spot for him against the Cardinals and a good spot for the Marlins to at least just take 1 in the series, you know?
Yeah, 100%. All right, 3 games left on the schedule. Let's get to the NL Central clash between the Cincinnati Reds and the Chicago Cubs. 8:05 Eastern start. Hunter Green on the mound for the Cincinnati Reds. Justin Steele on the mound for the Chicago Cubs. Looking at the opening line for this game, it's going to be a money line play because, again, we talk about the win factor in Wrigley Field. The Cubs are favored -135 in this game, +115 for the Cincinnati Reds.
I'm seeing wind 10 miles an hour out to right center.
Yeah, so we're probably seeing a total of probably what? With these two pitchers, I won't be surprised if we see a 9.5 or even a 10.
Maybe.
Yeah, Hunter Green. Boy, this guy is it's really fun going through his game log, Noah. It really is. So I'll start with his basic numbers. He's 3-8 so far this year. He has an ERA of 5.66 and a WHIP of 1.36 so far this season. He does have a total of 88 strikeouts so far this year, where he's pitched, I believe, 70 innings so far for the Cincinnati Reds. Last start was against the Dodgers. He gave up 6 earned runs, 3 home runs in that game. I mean, it is a Dodgers. It's a good lineup. But as always, last 2 starts, he's given up 10 earned runs and 10 innings pitched. The other start was against the Milwaukee Brewers. He did face the Chicago Cubs team at home back on May 26th. where he did give up 5 earned runs to this team, as well as 3 home runs, 6 strikeouts in that game. And if we're saying that the wind is blowing out in this game, Dylan, I'm sorry, Noah, I mean, I think that I'm leaning towards the over. So let me get to Justin Steele here first. 2-5 so far this year. It's 4.59 ERA with a whip of 1.45. Last start against the Pirates, he got roughed up in Pittsburgh. 5 2/3 inning pitched, 5 earned runs, 7 hits allowed. Again, he gave up 2 home runs in that game as well. He did face this Cincinnati Reds team back on May 26th in Cincinnati. 2 innings pitched, he gave up 7 earned runs in that game to the Cincinnati Reds. So there's no way I am backing or putting my money on either one of these pitchers. Like you mentioned, Noah, the winds are going to be blowing out. Give me the over in this game, man. I won't be surprised if it's past a number of 10. I think this is going to be another game where the long ball is going to be flying. Maybe guys you want to put in your DFS lineups, maybe some home run props for some of these guys on this team. I'm taking the over in this game, man.
I think this is a nice spot for the Reds as well. I agree with the over completely. That's my number one play from this game. But Hunter Green has the ability to go out there and shove for a little bit. And the Reds are the worst home team, or not the Reds. The Cubs are the worst team at home in the MLB. So I feel like this is a nice spot for the Reds. Plus 115 I'm seeing. I don't know what you had.
Yeah, plus 115. You're right.
Yeah, so I really like that number. Not sure if that's going to be my dog at the end of the podcast, but I think I'll have a nickel on it for tomorrow's slate.
Yeah, if you try to look at his splits for his home road again, as far as his strikeouts per 9 innings, 9.4 at home, 12.8 on the road. And again, he started against the Cubs on the road here, but his last start against the Cubs, he did get 6 strikeouts in this game, but his strikeout props are probably going to be around 6.5. I think.
Yeah, it's the only thing that he's really good for. And like you mentioned, with the winds blowing out, the heart of the – this is something that my coach has always taught me when I was playing ball. The harder the ball comes in, the further it goes out. So there you go.
Yeah, 100%.
That's over.
Yep. All right, let's get to the second to last game on the schedule. It's going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers in Coors Field. Take on the Colorado Rockies. 8:40 Eastern start, Julio Urias on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Herman Marquez on the mound for the Colorado Rockies. Looking at the opening line for this game, the Dodgers are favored -190 in this game, +160 on the money line for the Colorado Rockies, over under set at 11.5 with a little bit of juice towards the under at -115. Run line is at -1.5, -120, +1.5, even money for the Colorado Rockies. I'll start with Julio Urias here for the Dodgers. 5-6 so far this year. A 2.48 ERA, a whip of 1.01. Last start against the Atlanta Braves. Absolutely fantastic. He only gave up 1 earned run in 6 innings pitch. He's gone at least 6 innings in 5 out of his last 6 starts. I don't believe he's faced the Colorado Rockies so far this season. But on the road so far this year, he's 3-4 with a 2.36 ERA and a whip of 1.05. Marquez on the mound for the Colorado Rockies, 4-5 so far this year, 5.58 ERA with a whip of 1.50. At home so far this year, he's 1-2. The ERA for Marquez, a lot higher at home, Noah, 6.70 with a whip of 1.62. His last start, he was absolutely fantastic against the Minnesota Twins, but he's really gotten in trouble, like I mentioned, at home so far this year. Why don't you give your handicap here for this game, Noah, if you do have one? I want to look at Julio Urias's numbers against the Rockies throughout his career.
Yeah, because, I mean, he is a lefty, and we've mentioned that, you know, the Rockies lineup is one of the best against lefties in yesterday's podcast that still applies for today's podcast, as Urias is a southpaw. But, you know, I think I like the under. I know you mentioned that Marquez struggles at home, and it's the Coors Field effect. But, you know what, we get that Coors Field line. The line that I'm seeing is at 11.5. I don't know if that's the one that Munaf said. I don't want to repeat.
11.5. No, yeah.
Okay. I'm always scared to say the number that I'm looking at and see if like Munaf and I are looking at the right page for the odds or not. But The under has gone in four of their last five games for Colorado and four of the last five games for the Dodgers. And the last 12 games that these two teams have played against each other, it's hit in nine of them. So I like the under in this game. And I feel like you mentioned it yesterday's podcast that this is just kind of like one of those series that feels like the Pirates against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you get two lefties in a three game set against the Rockies, it's an uphill climb. Mm-hmm.
I was able to pull up the numbers for both of these pitchers against the opposing ball club. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, Noah. Julio Urias is 2-2 against the Colorado Rockies at 15 appearances in his career. What do you think his ERA is?
He's 2-2 in 15 appearances?
Yeah.
So
against the Rockies, yeah.
That tells me that either the team's giving up late leads or he gives up early leads and the team comes back. With the way the Dodgers have been, I mean, hitting in Urias's career, I feel like he's giving up early leads and the team comes back and wins these games for him. So I'm going to say his ERA is high fours, low fives.
He's at 5.61 against the Rockies. In his last four starts against the Colorado Rockies, he's given up at least four earned runs throughout those last four starts, and he's gone six innings, five and two thirds, six innings and two innings. And I'm going to filter this down by in Coors Field, but I can't get that number yet, but maybe
so
something to tweet out.
With Munoz's live handicapping, that may have just nixed my under. So you know what? Under 11.5.
No, okay. And then one more thing I was going to tell you about. Germán Márquez, 2-1 against the Dodgers in 12 appearances in his career. What do you think his ERA is?
2-1 against the Dodgers. And the Rockies are completely different from the Dodgers. They're a team that, you know, has struggled in the last few years that they've had Márquez, and he's only 2-1. So I'm feeling like Márquez holds them down, and then they give up the lead late with the bullpen. So his ERA, let's go with like high threes, low fours.
2.89.
Oh my God! Better. Yeah. I'm okay at this game at sniffing out the numbers. I just got to get the number, you know.
Yeah, which and as we're kind of talking through it here, Noah, kind of like the first five inning money line for the Rockies here.
Yeah. I feel
like that. No, we talked about how the Rockies are one of the best teams in the league against left-handed pitching. They're facing all three left-handed pitchers in this series. They had Tyler Anderson last night. They have Clayton Kershaw on Tuesday night, and then on the Wednesday game they have Julio Urias. So I'm going to go with the Rockies here, first five innings money line.
And you also avoid a bottom five bullpen in the MLB. So
yep.
Love that.
All right. Anything else for this game?
Rockies first five. You sold me.
Yeah. All right. Last game of the night. Chicago White Sox taking on the LA Angels. 9:38 Eastern start. Michael Kopech on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. And Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani show on the mound for the LA Angels. Look at the lines for this game. -150 for the Angels. +130 on the money line for the Chicago White Sox. Over under set at 7.5. -115 towards the over. Run line -1.5. +140 for the Angels. And +1.5. -165 for the Chicago White Sox. I will let you leave this one off, Noah.
I had this pulled up on Twitter. I have to go find it again. But the suspensions for Philly or for Philly, the manager's name is Phil. So that's where I got Philly from. Phil Nevin, 10 games. Did you hear the story of what he did?
No.
Okay. So like go listen or go watch. It's a 15-minute video, but it's great on, it's John Boy. And I love his videos that he compiles.
He's awesome, man. I love his follow.
Yeah. So he had a 15-minute video of the fight, and it spanned back to like the last series that they played against each other. And these are two teams that played eight games against each other in the matter of like 11 days. So Nevin purposely threw an opener against Seattle to throw at Mariners players. So the opener missed two pitches high and in to Julio Rodriguez in the first inning. So he didn't do his job. So Nevin goes back out there. He sends him back out there for the second inning. First hitter was Jesse Winker. and he drills him right in the ass. So, so Nevin got 10 games for sending the guy, telling him to walk the plank and go hit the guy. But Anthony Rendon threw the punch with his left hand with the cast on the right. That video went viral. That was great. He got 5 games. He's not even playing this season, he's probably going to get suspended 5 games to start the next season, which is hilarious. Wants, who is the opener, got 3 games. Ryan Tepera got 3 games, and he was an interesting cat in that fight as well. Rizal Iglesias, he didn't do anything, literally anything, in the fight. Yeah. He got suspended 2 games. All he did was throw a bucket of seeds out of the field and a bucket of gum and make the teams clean it up. But this is the stat. This is mind-blowing. From Danny Vietti on Twitter, Nevin as manager of the Angels. He has managed 18 total games. He's won 7 of them. He's been suspended for now 10. So, like, I was pro Joe Madden. I don't know why they fired him. He was huge for this Angels team to allow Ohtani to be a two-way player and start him and also bat him in the top 3 of his lineup. And he was like, I mean, Hunter Green is another one of those two-way prospects, and they're not letting him do that. It's just a huge gamble, and it's one that paid off, and I think you have to reward Madden for that. And I mean, like, this is a good team. They were bound to win. It was just a rough patch of 12 games where they had lost. But to this game in specific, this is appointment television, because you have my main man, Michael Kopech, the 2022 AL Cy Young Award winner, versus Showtime Shohei Ohtani. Kopech is 2-4 with a 2.59 ERA, 57 strikeouts, 29 walks. His walk total is a little bit high for my liking, but it was a long shot, a Cy Young Award winner, and I'm just happy that he's pitching well because I'm a good fan. He's 63.1 innings pitched this year. Ohtani, he's 6-4 with a 2.90 ERA, 90 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 68.2 innings pitched. Mama Beanick banging around pans. That means dinner's getting made. Let's go. But both arms are in great form right now, while the offenses have been lackluster. Munoz, do you want to tail the under 7.5 with me?
Ohtani has been really good at home. And I think that goes back to even last season, right? So far this year, 2.45 ERA, 0.85 whip at home for Ohtani. Michael Kopech, you mentioned the numbers. And this guy I've been high on as well. And, you know, he doesn't give up a lot of runs. I feel like this might be a game where we see a lot of strikeouts from both of these pitchers. That might be something that I might be looking at in this game. At least from, you know, I want to back Ohtani, but I feel like, again, anytime I see Ohtani, I get nervous because I feel like the public's going to be all over it.
Yeah.
And especially at a -150 price, I can't get behind that. So I agree on the under. I'll probably look at some strikeout props for both of these guys as well for this game. You have anything else for this game, Noah?
Yeah, I like K props on both guys. We'll see where they open up, but that's always the toughest part with the K props, because they're like, we're just shooting blind when we talk about them on the podcast and stuff. So just pay attention to our Twitters on the day of the games. And I mean, I tweet a lot. I know Munoz tweets a lot of picks, but like, he doesn't have NBA anymore, so I don't know how flooded his feed is. But mine, I have a bunch of highlights and just random stuff that I like to retweet and show love through SGPN. So if you don't mind scrolling through some clutter, I have some picks every now and then on K props that I like to throw out there.
Yeah, 100%. All right, before we get over to our lock and dog for the Wednesday games, let me tell you guys about IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away your all your private data to your hacker, to the hackers, advertisers, ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why we at SGPN use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish help you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off your yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. So all you got to do is go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP to claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, Noah, picks time, lock and dog for the Wednesday schedule. I will let you lead it off.
I was hoping you wouldn't let me lead off, because this is the part of the podcast where I forget about everything that we talk about on it. And I'm like, which one is my favorite? So if you have a lock and a dog ready, you can take the lead from me, because I let off yesterday, because I'm still kind of fishing for which one's my favorite lock.
All right. Let's see here. for my lock, it's above the number that I like giving it out at. But as we talk through it and the history that he has against his team, I got to go with the Padres -140 as my lock. For my dog, man, let's see. There wasn't really there's one game that we had talked about.
This is the toughest part for me, is like going back and finding the two that we like the most.
Oh yeah. Here we go. My dog, I'm gonna go with the Rockies first five inning money line.
Yeah, I like that one.
I like the, you know, we really handicapped that game really well. We got into both of their pitchers' numbers. Marquez surprisingly does really well against the Dodgers in his career. We talked about the numbers. I want to take the bullpen out of it. Like you mentioned, bottom five bullpen for the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
So I will take the Rockies first five inning money line. That number is not out yet, but it will definitely be a plus price. So definitely wait for our picks graphic for that number. But if that number pops up for you on your book, I will be on the first five innings, money line for the Colorado Rockies. So just to recap my picks: Padres money line, Mike Clevinger against Madison Bumgarner, the Diamondbacks, -140. And for my dog, Colorado Rockies first five innings money line, Noah.
Like those. I do. Mine, I'm not sure how confident I am in these two that I've picked out. Make sure you look at the pick graphic, because tomorrow might be one of those days where I do just kind of aim for K props. As you saw, Monday went 2-0 on those. So like where we're at, we're seeing the board well with the pitchers and the strikeouts. But for the podcast, let's go with the lock over 8 in Baltimore, Seattle. Austin Voth, Chris Flexen, a bad Mariners bullpen, and two offenses that have been hitting pretty well over the last week. So both guys just not very consistent on the mound, and there's 13-mile-an-hour winds blowing out. So yeah, like the over 8 in that one. It's actually -115. So I think it changed from -105 to -115. So even better lock there, as the odds are moving in our favor. For the dog, I'm going to go with Sandy Alcantara with Miami on the road against St. Louis. I'm going to take them. I'm seeing +135 on the money line. So that's going to be my dog of the day.
All right, there we go. So lock is going to be the over 8 in the Orioles and Mariners game, and the dog, Sandy Alcantara, Miami Marlins against the St. Louis Cardinals on the Wednesday schedule here. Noah, that's going to do it, my man, for the Wednesday games. Hopefully we get Malcolm back tomorrow. I know he's been battling a stomach bug. I'm sure we'll
get food poisoning tomorrow, right?
Yeah. We'll get a fun story out of Malcolm tomorrow if he's able to come back. But anything else you want to get off your chest?
That's just kind of I guess karma for him saying that on the podcast like a week ago, that his son came in at like 10 p.m. and asked his dad if he could have the full-size candy bar of chocolate, and he goes, "Yeah, why not?" that's just what he gets, you know. He's a good dad, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think Mama Bamford would have approved of that, given the his son the entire chocolate bar for the day. But we'll get the story tomorrow. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Wednesday games episode. Like I said, we'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday schedule. You can find me on Twitter at SportsNerd84. Make sure to follow the MLB Gambling Podcast Twitter account at MLBSGPN. Noah is absolutely crushing it. I promise that at some point we will start doing live streams for the MLB Gambling Podcast, so you guys can follow along with
us. We're trying to get all four of us maybe for the first one, and with Malcolm down and out right now, it's not a great time. So we'll see.
Yeah. So I've been playing with a new streaming the streaming application that we're going to be using.
It's
so.
A new background every day. I love it.
Yeah. So definitely look out for that. Know anything else, my man?
Just you plugged your Twitter, so I'll plug mine. 77NB, the word 70, the number 7NB. Let's go crush it today. Let it ride.
Yeah, I saw one review come in for the MLB Gambling Podcast. So thank you.
How about it?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the second here and find out who it was and give them a shout out because those.
Yeah, go like, review, rate, subscribe to our podcasts on Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening, because it does us wonders, and we'd like to become one of the top MLB podcasts here, as it's like a huge time in demand as baseball is one of the only major four sport going right now.
Yeah, Dvon595 gave us a 5-star review. He said, "Gotta love SGPN. Very helpful and some of the best cappers around. Thanks, fellas." So appreciate you. And again, rest of our listeners, please do us a favor. Leave us a rating and review. It really helps us grow the show.
Thank you, Devon.
Yeah. Good luck with your bets. Till then, let's break these books off and let it ride.